you may be seated. Our second speaker is one of the other vice presidents for Dean Burgess Society, Dr. Vic Rosenbaum. My son, Pastor Daniel Waite, pastor, associate pastor of our church, and Bible Credit Baptist Church in Collinswood, Missouri. He's going to be speaking to us on the subject, More Thoughts on the Forever Settled Book. And I'll bless you over there as you speak.
Well, God's words are still forever settled, even though there are people out there that do not believe the Bible is the words of God. They believe, many of them believe it's the work of man, but they are sadly mistaken. They have the right to believe what they want to believe, but sadly they often believe the wrong thing. You have people today who have that mindset. And so consequently, you have a book of man's words, and you have the book of the Bible being put together by men who do not know God, men who are not believers whatsoever. We want to thank you, Northfield Baptist Church, for allowing us to have the conference today, here and tomorrow. Very nice of you. We want to thank you for the nice breakfast and lunch you provided for us. It's very good, very, very nice to eat here on the grounds, to be able to give us opportunity to fellowship with one another. Before I go much further, I'm glad everyone's here at the conference. And so I'm going to tell you something about myself here. My name is Daniel Waite, and I'm from Collinswood, New Jersey. And I told you where I'm from. And I attend the Bible Study Baptist Church. And I heard about this year's conference from last year's conference. So that's Let's each of you do that real quick. Let's start right up here. So, congregation name, how you heard about the conference, the type of church you attend, and what else can you know? And how you hear about the conference?
Pastor Dean Waite, I heard about the conference from last year, that Paul was going to be here, the date and the time, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Study Baptist Church, Collinswood, New Jersey.
Now, Barry, we'll get to you in 1 second here. I'm sorry, Barry. This is something I need you up there with the camera for. I should remember this. You don't mind? You talk, this is going to pass you, or?
Okay. I'm Barry Johns. I'm from Lighthouse Bible Baptist in Webster, outside of Rochester, New York. And I heard about this conference from me.
Well, thank you, Barry. Barry, would you mind getting these people's responses from me? Thank you very much, Barry. Barry's helping me out here with this camera. Bill's helping me out with the camera. Anna's helping me out back there. She's doing the whole thing. Really, Anna is. I appreciate that, Anna. Mabel, how about you? Tell us about yourself. Stand up and tell us these four things. Is that you're interested?
Oh, do you want me to read?
Your name? No, just tell us your name, where you're from, maybe your church, and how you have the
counts. Oh, hi.
Brooklyn, New York. Church. Actually, I've been watching the church, Bible Watching Baptist Church sermon
online, and yes, I learned about this conference
in
the church, and this is my first time here.
Well, thanks for coming, Abel. That's the third. Those four things, please. Yeah. If you don't want to stand up, you don't have to stand up, but it's nice to have you stand up.
Yeah, if you can make it.
Get a nice close shot there.
My name is Yvonne Waite. I'm Dr. Waite's wife for 70 years, the end of...
Hey.
Some month, August.
What day?
Where I'm from Collinsville, New Jersey. We lived there 52 years. And that's the longest we've ever lived anyplace. That's where Dan was born.
Hey.
That's why. You've been there so long. The name of the church, a Bible for Day Baptist Church. It meets in our home and it meets in people's homes through the internet. And you may hear us on the internet. I play the piano, so don't hold it against the church. It's going to take all day for all of us to do this. You read about 40. We start thinking about this as soon as the last one's over. So we'll start thinking
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tammy Waite, my husband. I'm from the Bible for today, and from Collinswood, And I heard about the conference from my husband, and I watched it last year online. I wasn't there.
I'm Colleen Roeder from Glenville, Connecticut, and the church I attend is Gospel Light Baptist Church in Danbury, Connecticut. It's an hour north of us. And our pastor, Pastor Fish, invited us to this conference possibly 10, I'm not sure how many years ago. And so we went with the pastor and our two sons. And then for this conference, we got a postcard and a phone call.
Good. Postcard and a phone call. Hear that, Bill? Postcard and a phone call. Good, sir.
My name is Michael Andre. I'm from Vineland, New Jersey. The name of the church is Faith Bible Church in Vineland, New Jersey. And I heard about the conference constantly from Bible for Today, sending me stuff over the years. And I became a life member of the...
My name is Robert Wilson from Dunn, North Carolina, from the Dean of Fine Arts at Foundation Bible College, Bible Collegiate Church, and I learned about this through my pastor, Dr. Smith.
I'm Susan Wilson from Dunn, North Carolina. I attend the church with my husband, of course, at Foundation, and heard about the conference through my pastor.
I'm Brian Shepherd, and I'm from Garland, Texas. And I go to a member of Gatewood Baptist Church, and I heard about the conference last year as well. Brother Dan told me I had to be here. So.
Okay, Phyllis Shepherd from Garland, Texas, Gatewood Baptist Church, and found out about the conference from last year's conference.
Okay. Next year, that's when the conference will be at Gateway Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. So make sure we make plans now. Maybe you want to start driving now. But we'll take you. It's a big, big day and a half, 2 days to get there.
Patricia Hanahan. I'm from Washington, D.C. I listen to Pastor Waite online on Sermon Audio. And I've known about this from last year's conference as well, watching it online.
This is Spencer.
I'm Joy Spence from Dunn, North Carolina, the Foundation of Bible Collegiate Church, and I found this about the conference from my husband.
H.C. Spence from Dunn, North Carolina, Foundation of Bible Collegiate Church, and Dr. Wade called me about this.
Jerry Mead from Bellingham, Massachusetts. I'm here with my wife, Sharon, and we're a member of Grace Baptist Church in Franklin. I heard about the conference through Pastor Doug DeVito.
Ms. Little, I'm Bob Little.
My name is Russell Jr. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. I attend Community Baptist Church. I heard about it by going to the website, which told me where it was last year. And so then I called over here, and one of the Dr. Waits answered the phone and told me where it was. Hey.
Okay. Next item.
Vance Doreen from the land of Lincoln. That's Aurora, Illinois. I go to Valley Baptist Church in Oswego. I read about it through a postcard.
Kirk DeMetro, pastor of Grace Baptist Church up in Franklin, Massachusetts. And I heard about it back in 1993. Dr. Wade needed computer help.
I am here from Northern Baptist Church. My name is Ryan Dunn, and we get an artist from our good friend William Smith.
John
Larkin, he told us about it. I'm just happy to be here.
Good, I'm
Kirk Mitchell, and from Rio Grande, New Jersey, not Mexico. but small town, Cayman County, there we are, members of the Rio Grande Bible Baptist Church. And I learned about it by my brother-in-law, the pastor in the Mayville Bible Church, handed me a flyer. And that's the first time I've ever seen.
I'm Anne-Marie Howe-Shell from Sarnia, Ontario, Canada, and we, oh, I'm telling my husband, I'm married to Randy, and we attend Bible for Today Baptist Church. So we come down and visit in Delaware, and so we decided to come to the conference. Heard about it, of course, through Pastor Wade and Pastor Dan, and have been praying for this conference for the whole year.
Amen. 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 Our church.
Yes, we did. I met at Pastor and Mrs. Wade at Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collinsville, New Jersey.
Amen.
I'm Randy Howdyshell. I'm from Sarnia, Ontario, previously from Wilmington, Delaware. And I attend Bible for Today Baptist Church, and that's where I heard about the conference for the last several years.
Okay.
And that's how I got here.
Good to see you, Randy.
I'm Grant Anderson. I'm Jeremy Rice, Pastor Rice's father-in-law. I'm here visiting and enjoying the conference.
Sure. Let's go.
Okay, Jeremy Rice, Northfield Baptist Church. My dad actually introduced me to the Program Society Pastor Wade many years ago in the 90s when he used to get a lot of books and things. He came out of Central in Minneapolis and he saw him shifting sands of Phillipsburg and Central, and so he got really up to speed through Dr. Wade's books. And so then I as a teenager in the 90s, I read some of his stuff, so I really pursued that over the years.
Give another. Okay.
Yes, I'm Joe Bruckman from Staten Island. I go to St. Matthew's Lutheran Church right now that has a pastor from Africa who just preaches the King James Bible and just preaches the Bible. I still work for a Methodist church out of a cemetery, and I contend for the faith, and that would then try to win one over. I just try to stay out of the cemetery, do my thing, and now and then they come out and start with me. We go back and forth on different subjects. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Rob. I'm Rob Winograd from Highwood, Illinois, just north of Chicago. And I've had a close association with Bible for Today Baptist Church for about 12 years now. And I heard about this from the executive, the meeting last year. The morning meeting, which I missed this year. My apologies for that.
Well, you
didn't
miss time. Next year,
though.
I mean, next year,
right? Well, good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, this is Don Boyce. I'm from Bingo, Georgia, member of Bridgeview Baptist Church, and we heard about it from last year.
Okay.
It's Ellen Boyce from Bingo, Georgia. I heard Baptist Church. Peterson, Worcester City, New Jersey. I heard of some of Pastor Reed in the Bible for Today in Collinsville.
Elaine and Justin Mellon, I heard about through the Slaughter and the paper, and I crossed the pole. My husband,
together. Sure.
I'm Paul Castanelli, and I heard about it when I first went to the Program Society 2 years ago in Collinswood in July 2016. And I heard that I had heard about it through there that last year was in Georgia, and I heard that it was going to be coming new for this year. So my wife and I was going to attend. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Evan.
Hi,
Evan
Peterson, this is from Gloucester City, New Jersey.
My name is Christian Spencer. I'm the pastor of Bible Presbyterian Church in Collinswood, New Jersey. And I've known the Waits ever since I've been there for 11 years. And, of course, I heard about it last year.
Well, very good.
I'm Keen Riney from Greenville, South Carolina. I'm unemployed, and I heard about it last year.
Yes, sir.
What's up, Jim?
Jim,
I'm Bill Shepherd. I attend Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collinswood, New Jersey, where I live. Pastor Wade is my pastor.
Okay.
Good. Matthias Feld from East Greenville, Pennsylvania. I go to Community Baptist Church, and I heard about the meeting from being an intern with Pastor Rice.
This is his last week. Maybe this is the last week of being an intern. This here.
Yes, I'm Dean Bolt, pastor of the Mainland Baptist Church in Galloway, New Jersey, and I've heard about the conference and mailings from Northfield Baptist.
Mr. Member, Father Bolt.
We're Miss Lawton Roy, Philadelphia, and St. Galloway Baptist Church. I've heard about it from Pastor Wayne.
Tom.
I am John Watkins. I'm from North, from New Jersey, Northfield Baptist Church, my home church. I learned first learned about the Eberhard House Society when I met Dr. Wayne back in like 87, 88. And I spent the last 3 years trying to arrange the annual meeting to be here. Hi. So grateful that you're here.
Next up.
I'm Anna Wade. I'm from Collinsville, New Jersey. And I attend the Bible Friday Baptist Church. And I heard about this conference because I watched the last conference.
Okay.
Because I couldn't make it because I was busy.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for telling me all this. Appreciate that. I want to take a few minutes before I decide to say here about this God's word being forever settled. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. You know, they're not created by man. They are God's word. They are the spirit of God. Holy men of God, they speak as they were moved by God. They are still forever settled, no matter what the critics say. We have critics today that are saying that they don't even believe in the creation accounts of the Scripture. The critics today that don't believe that the Bible is God's Word. They believe it's a book of man. I was not too long ago, I was talking to somebody at a restaurant, and he said that the Bible is a man's words and not God's words. And if you can't get past... they can't get themselves past that fact to understand the fact that the Bible is God's words. So they can't accept the facts of the Scripture. They believe many things in the Scripture are just in their view a fairy tale, the works of man. But it's not. The Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5-6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. And add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Today, many people, they want to add to God's words, they want to take away from God's words, and they are going to be found a liar. It's wrong for them to do that, to deceive people. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 26, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under the under an oak, that it was by the sanctuary of the Lord. They had a high respect for God's words, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Not until the modern day textual critics come along, the Gnostic critics, the critics that get their doctrine, their theology from Origen, do they start questioning and tearing apart God's words. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, so they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. It's very, very important for people today to read the Bible. To read the Bible, to read the Scripture. Because the Scripture is what can change our lives. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Also, day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. People today, again, they want to change what the Scripture says. They can't decide if they want to take the confession view or the contraction view, but they want to change. They do not want to be accountable to God's words. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is exactly why we have so many problems today with the Scripture not being accepted by most of humanity on the earth, because of the carnal mind. And sadly, many people that are a part of the Christian Bible-believing churches are being duped by the secular humanists and atheists who are translating the Scripture. Now, as far as the Septuagint is concerned, the president of the Dean Burger Society says the Septuagint is an inaccurate, and deficient as a translation. and there's other translations that are just as inadequate and deficient as well. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the scripture says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, this is just one example, but sadly, many modern versions change virgin to young married woman. They're always making changes, whether they're small changes, whether they're big changes, whether they're knocking out 17 verses from the scripture. They want to make changes because they don't want to accept what the scripture says. They don't want to believe that there is even a God. They don't want to be accountable to God. Jerome included the Apocrypha in his Latin translation. The Apocrypha is not canonical, it's not scripture, but yet we have here Jerome included it. I'm very, very cautious sometimes what these people are saying. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. Again, we know that the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's how somebody thinks, how they approach the scripture. How does one look at the scripture? Do they look at it with the carnal mind, or do they look at it with a spiritual mind? When they start tearing apart the scripture, I would say they're looking at scripture with a carnal mind. We must accept the scripture as the words of God. Now we have the naturalistic critics, people that want to say, people that want to claim that there's a naturalistic explanation for everything. You know, for the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the water, for the children of Israel going across the Red Sea on dry land. Naturalist critics believe the text of Exodus has many corruptions, and that they don't stop with Exodus. They go throughout the whole Bible. They try to claim that the whole Bible has a bunch of errors, which means that they don't have to pay attention to it. It's just like any other book in the view of the critics. Naturalism. Focuses on nature and looks for some objective explanation in the nature, rather in nature, for who and why and where they are going. They have no faith whatsoever. Naturalism, they want to look for a natural explanation of things. Versus, and the natural man we see here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We have people today, again, the people who attack Scripture, the people that are following the theology of origin, the people that accept and embrace the Gnostic texts, the people that deny the single Mosaic authorship of the book of Genesis. God is the author, Moses is the writer, but nonetheless, they think there's four people who wrote the book of Genesis. Why stop at four? Why not go on to 20? But nonetheless, they cannot accept the things of God. The natural man cannot accept the things of God. Creationism focuses on creation and looks for some objective explanation in creation for why they are and where they are going. There are people today, people who claim to be born again Christians, that cannot accept the fact of the 7-day creation. Six solar days of creation. They cannot accept that. They want to look at some long age view, the old earth type of thinking. They can't accept the fact that God created the earth with age. Brother Shepherd, do you have that book with you or not? Well, next year in Texas, he'll have the book with him. So he has a wonderful book about proving the age of the earth. But the idea of those people who are creationists, they accept the fact of biblical creation. We have to accept the fact of biblical creation as true. Whereas the natural person, see, the modern day textual critics thinks with natural things. They're looking at the Bible as some other book, and not as God's book. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." We have to be spiritual people. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, you see, it's God the one. God's the one that's doing the talking. God's the one that said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Again, the naturalistic person, the person that thinks with their mind, thinks with their nature, does not accept this fact. Some modern-day Bible translators, meaning translators from the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, they do not accept the fact that this is what happened in the beginning. They said, it's not necessary to think it. Eugene Nida and all his friends at his translation schools, they don't think it's necessary to believe the facts of the book of Genesis. And yet, many people are being duped and accepting the fact that we have to let these men, and in some instances women, translate the scripture. I mean, we have the fact of a Bob Jones University making a change in their view. I mean, when the father and the son were alive, the senior and junior, they were opposed to the RSV. But then we have the ESV, which is basically on the RSV, being embraced by the school. Bob Jones condemned the RSV, and now they're embracing the ESV. They're not being clear in their thinking or their reasoning, because it's something that's accepted, and they're probably caving to some form of theological peer pressure. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Dreyer disagrees with the interpretation of Albright, Burroughs, and Cross, and other scholars are based upon the Dead Sea Scrolls. He puts the Dead Sea Scrolls right after. He's got a better date for the Dead Sea Scrolls. A normal, ordinary book. Again, as I said this before, modern-day textual scholars teach, rather treat God's words just as a normal, ordinary book. The New Testament texts, they maintain, ought to be treated just as the texts of other ancient books are treated. And they go through the same textual criticism as they do with other books. It's no different than at some other book. It's no different whatsoever. The naturalistic modern-day scholar believes the Bible to be a natural book rather than a supernatural book. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's not the work of man, it's the work of God. To where will unbelief lead? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:11-13. These two men believe that the text is entirely pure. West and Hort believe that the manuscripts B and Aleph are almost entirely pure, although they disagree with themselves 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Naturalism. The natural method leads to the denial of the inspiration of the Bible. The New Testament. You know, Tertullian came up with the concept of the New Testament, Bible preservation. Bible preservation in the 21st century is being watered down by many, and that will lead to a denial of inspiration when you start taking away Bible preservation. This is the papyrus manuscripts. Ashamed of God's words. Whosoever therefore be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with his holy angels. Tischendorf, so-called, discovered the Codex Aleph at St. Catherine's Monastery. The received text has 85% of all the representations of all the manuscripts. Aleph and B differ. Of course, we have this is Hosker. As I mentioned this before, they differ 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Three great church fathers. They have a great regarding of the text receptus. Scrivener believed that the word worst corruptions to be which the New Testament has ever been subject originated within 100 years after it was composed, in its early years. What text has no representation outside of Egypt? The Alexandrian text. One of the places you can find representation for the Alexandrian text is in Egypt. Wilkinson states, beginning shortly after the death of the apostles, this is kind of what was said before, four names stand out in prominence, whose teachings contributed both to the vicious heresies and to the first issuing of the manuscripts of the corrupt New Testament. The Diathistron, you see, this was recognized as a corrupt thing, and it was removed, 200 copies. Light Vulgate, was by Jerome. Dienborgon gathered 86,000 patristic scripture quotations of these so-called missing things that are in modern Bibles. What's the difference between Mark 1 to 2 in the ESV versus the KJV? ESV favors written in Isaiah, the prophets versus in the prophets. It's found in both Malachi and Isaiah. Totality includes John 5 through the 4 in his writings. The movement of water. This is also some verses that are missing. Again, we have 17 verses that are missing. God was manifest in the flesh. Is not found, but probably it is found in these writings, but it's missing in many modern Bibles. God was justified in the Spirit, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's missing. God is manifest in the flesh is missing. The word God is missing, man of God is missing. Justified in the Spirit, seed of angel, preached on the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in glory. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Again, Son of Man who is in heaven, that's missing. Letters of P45, favor brevity. They can't make up their mind if they want it short or long, but here they favor brevity. Hundreds of words missing. Codex Sinaiticus omits John 5:4, John 8:14, Matthew 16:23, Leviticus 16:2-3, Romans 16:2-24, Mark 16:9-20, and hundreds of other words and phrases which are commonly removed from the Alexandrian texts. And of this whole idea of the textual family is horrible. Is that the last time? Okay. 10 revisers. At least 10 revisers between the 4th and 12th centuries. Of course, we're going to have an updated on this later on with Jack Brother Mormon. The Epistle of Barnabas, 3,000 real differences. Of course, I've already talked about this 3 times already. There are 3,000 real differences between the 2 texts. Stuart Custard, say God preserved his words in the sands of Egypt. He made that statement at Marquette Avenue Baptist Church right in the Chicago area. Clement of Alexandria, he says the greatest contribution undoubtedly was the direction given to the studies and activities of Origen from his pupils. So, but a lot of these people were influenced wrongly by Origen. Constantine the Great, the Latin Italic Bible, the Valley of the News about the Italic, the Waldensian and Old Latin Bible, 900 years. It took 900 years for this, although endorsed and supported by the power of the papacy, the Vulgate, which name we now call Jerome's translation, did not get immediate acceptance everywhere. It took 900 years for Jerome's Vulgate to get acceptance. The Apostles and the Peshitta, Bishop Ellicott wrote in 1870, it's not no stretch of the imagination to suppose that portions of the Peshitta might have been in the hands of St. John. New alphabets, they had to develop a new alphabet for people to get the scripture in their own language. Henry VIII had a parliament pass the law. The Pope is the head of the church, he's the head of the church and so forth. They called it great division, his great Bible. Chicago newspapers on May 22nd, 1881, the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Times published entire revised English version of the New Testament. Paper and printing came about at the same time. Used to cost, to buy a handwritten Bible, used to cost £50 and take 10 months to copy. And we had the Johannes Gutenberg, the printing of ink and paper. And we have the first Bible, the first book to be printed on his press is the Latin Vulgate.
A primary parallel to the Gnostic Gospels of the Bible is based on Vaticanus, as very many modern Bibles are based today. Modern Gnostic Bibles are based on Vaticanus and the Gnostic critical text, UBS, in the United Bible Society's text and so forth. Famous Greek student, the Spirit of God presided over Tyndale's calling and training. He early passed through Oxford and Cambridge universities. He went from Oxford to Cambridge to learn Greek from Erasmus. Tyndale's vow, this is what Tyndale said, if God spare my life ere many years, I will call as a boy that driveth the plow, shall know more than the scripture than thou dost. That's more like a tractor that's driving a plow, but nonetheless, that's the idea. You have a boy driving the tractor now, but still, the boy, the man driving the tractor, can still know more of the scriptures than many scholars today. The theory of Henry VIII, he wanted a Bible placed in every church. Only the clergy could interpret, which is that's what we're getting to today. Only the scholars can interpret now. They're not quite saying it the same way, but nonetheless, that's the idea what Trent was saying. Miracle of English Prose. That's the King's the Coverdale Bible was another Bible we have. The millenary petition, we had 1,000 clergymen of some sort sign a petition, and eventually we had the King James Bible being translated and produced. And Reynolds was one of the signers of that petition. 33 months it took to translate the King James Bible, the sword of the Spirit, Scripture says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. People don't want to accept the Scripture as the Word of God. Horton's dominance of the Greek New Testament, Dr. Horton, who was an opponent of the received text, who dominated the English New Testament received revision committee, says, an overwhelming proportion of the text in all known cursives, manuscripts except few, is a matter of fact identical. So he's Horton's all off on that. We have Scribner, nice engineer. Weissman is another man we don't really have too much time to talk about. Fenton Hort, he says, he's another one that says this. In textual criticism, the New Testament is to be treated like any other book. We can't treat the Bible like any other book. Interpretation versus accidental omission. A.C. Clark says, he says that right there. We have Darwin. Horowitz, is that my time or not? 2 minutes, okay. Horowitz to Reverend John Ellington on April 3rd, 1860. But the book which the most engaged with was Darwin. They're embracing Darwinism. And people today, they want to accept the people that, the same guy that told me that he thought the Bible was the book of man's words, also embraced Darwin. Some of the lives today, you know, down the street, simply. Not down the street here in this town, but down the street in some other town. And again, here's Wesley. He denies Genesis. And got Titchendorf here. Titchendorf could have done something better, I suppose, with his life. Queen Victoria would not appoint a royal committee for the new translation, which is good for her. Samuel Wilberforce, Northern Convention, extreme higher criticism versus lower criticism. Higher criticism is just denying the fact of the creation accounts. Lower criticism is trying to determine which text of the Bible is closest to the originals. There's a book, Tradition Above the Bible. Newman wants to put tradition above the Bible. When we think of all the tradition, we got those seven sacraments, and he would rather put the tradition of the sacraments and anything else above what the Word of God says. And Philip Schaff was another one in the committee, revision committee, and he'd be willing to die among these Buddhists, Confucianists, and Shintoists. Of course, he's. And we have scriptures verbally inspired. Here, I think this is my last slide here. If it's not my last slide, it's going to be my last slide. 100 years ago, Bergen said, if you and I believe that the original writings of Scripture were verbally inspired by God, then a necessity, they must had been providentially preserved through the ages. Since the Garden of Eden, that has been the primary issue, yea, hath God said. Please take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. Wherewithal also a young man must stand for the reading of God's word, please. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
John 6:16.